Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is the first time that you are joining us, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about the way that GPC is church together. Check out your bulletin for lists of calendars and announcements for worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. And if you have any questions about any of those, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or following worship at the communion table. An elder will be there to receive your questions and comments. A few announcements this morning. First, a very sad announcement. I'm sorry to have to share with you that Jack Hughes passed away yesterday. And we ask for continued prayers for Mary and the family. A memorial service will be scheduled. We don't have a date yet, but it will be here at the church. And we'll try to get that date around as quickly as we can when we have it. So please keep Mary and the family in your prayers. A reminder for high school seniors, the mustard seed applications are due next Sunday. Next Sunday. Make sure you have those in. And next Sunday is also a Fusion Sunday. And I need a few volunteers, a few greeters for the prayer stations. So if you are feeling so called, it's really an easy job. You just welcome folks to the prayer station. There's a sign-up list on the kiosk, so go ahead and put your name up there. And a note about this morning's worship, it is a great honor to welcome the Reverend Amy Williams Fowler, the Presbyterian leader of the Presbytery of Genesee Valley, to the pulpit this morning. Welcome, Amy. We're glad that you're here. And we have a few other announcements.
Good morning. I just want to draw your attention to the bulletin and today's second hour program. We have Hallie Rotter here from the Center for Environmental Initiatives, which is a contractor with NYSERDA. She's going to be sharing with us incentive programs for energy efficiency in your home, how you can save energy, how you can reduce your energy consumption. So there'll be a lot to learn. Thank you.
Good morning. In the calendar list in the bulletin, there will be a yard sale meeting on Tuesday at 7 o'clock in room 2. Anyone, everyone is welcome. We like to break this up into little chunks so nobody's overwhelmed, and we do have fun, honestly. The yard sale is June 2nd, which is 6 weeks from yesterday. Thank you.
Yesterday, we served meal at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. Friday night, we had 5 brave people get together and prepare the meal. It was a true cross-section of the church that showed up. We had young adults in grammar school. And we had senior citizens and everything in between there to help prepare the meal. So had quite a nice time fixing. And then on Saturday, we had 8 people show up from church, and we were joined with 3 college students from Brockport to help us serve the meal. And we served over 80 people. And they voted GPC goulash, once again, the best goulash on a rainy Saturday afternoon. So thank you for all your help and your donations.
Amen. It is the best goulash I've ever had. I was glad to be there yesterday. Are there any other announcements this morning? Friends, and let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you. I get to say. Please stand as able for the call to worship. We are witnesses. We are witnesses of God's love. We are witnesses to everyone we encounter.
Christ is risen
indeed. Amen.
Join together for the prayer of confession. Gracious God, you give to us your greatest gift, your Son, Jesus Christ, and we still don't understand what is going on. You call us to be people of courage and hope, and yet we run and hide, doubting and fearing. You challenge us to proclaim our faith, but we huddle in darkness, whispering our words of discouragement. Shake us up, Lord. Forgive us when we seem to need prodding over and over again. Help us to see the presence of Jesus in our lives and remind us of all that he taught us, to help us to live as disciples, serving you by serving others. Change us, remold us, make us truly the disciples you have called us to be. Amen. And now we offer our prayers of silent confession. Not everything has been revealed to us, but this we do know. As God's children, we are blessed, we are loved, we are forgiven. Our lives have been transformed by the abundant mercy given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Come sit, sit right here. Good morning. Good morning, friends. One arm today. Good morning. So I have a question for you. What's your favorite thing to eat? Just tell me, what's your favorite thing to eat? Pizza? Apples? What else? What's your favorite thing? Corn? Focaccia? Really? Focaccia? It is, I know what it is, it's good. Tell me. Broccoli? Wow, you guys are some healthy eaters. You guys do a good job, Mom. Ice cream, there we go. What a pancakes. Oh, you guys are making me hungry. Even though I do my best to make sure that I try to make good choices about food, there are just some days where I want something yummy and ooey and gooey and warm, like homemade macaroni and cheese. Do you guys like, oh, or pizza. And not only does it make it, no, not only does it make my tummy feel good, but it feels like a nice warm hug sometimes. You know what we call that kind of food? The disciples, you know what? After Easter, the disciples needed to feel a little bit of comfort too. They were still feeling pretty scared about all this news that Jesus had risen. And when Jesus came to see them in our Bible story this morning that you guys will talk about in Sunday school, you know what he did? You know what he said to them? He said, "Let's eat." Food was a pretty important part of Jesus' ministry and our life together. So every time we sit down with our family or friends and have a snack or a meal, we thank God and Jesus. No, you don't. Well, maybe we should. How about we pray together, and you guys can practice doing that too, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, and the food you share with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. You guys have a great time in Sunday school. All right. Okay. Ready? Stand up, please. Thank you. Oh, you are.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Psalms, chapter 4. Answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people ruin my reputation? How long will you make groundless accusations? How long will you continue your lies? You can be sure of this. The Lord set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will answer when I call to him. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. Offer sacrifices in the right spirit and trust the Lord. Many people say, "Who will show us better times?" Let your face smile on us, Lord. You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe.
The gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. While the disciples were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in this city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Please pray with me. Who dares speak for you, O God, give me a humble heart and a right attitude, that Christ may shine forth to perceptive minds and live in receptive hearts. Amen. It's a delight to be here with you. I thank Melissa for the invitation. It's wonderful to be in worship with you while Carol Ann is on sabbatical. I was thinking as I came in how reminiscent this is of my home church, which is in Wilmington, Delaware. I think it's probably about the same vintage. And also has sort of an ark-like quality to it, a very dramatic space as this is. For us, it's two Sundays after Easter. For the Gospel according to Luke, we are just finishing Easter Day. And so I want to remind you how Luke tells the story. You know that each gospel writer tells the story in a different way. With Mark, the earliest ending of Mark finishes with the women running from the tomb, terrified. That's it. Matthew and Luke each have a different story to tell, as does John. And so this year we're focusing on Luke's telling of the story. And so you remember, the women who came from Jesus all the way from Galilee, from the very beginning, were the women who found the empty tomb. They watched. They watched Joseph of Arimathea take the body of Jesus off the cross and wrap it in linen and then lay it in a rock-hewn tomb. It was almost evening, and the Sabbath was about to begin, and so they went back and prepared spices and ointments, but then they needed to observe the Sabbath, so they did that. Early Sunday morning at first light, they returned to prepare his body. And when they got there, of course, the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. While they were just standing there trying to figure out what was going on, two men appeared in dazzling clothes. And they were terrified, and they bowed to the ground. And one of the men asked them a very important question. He asked, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And then went on to remind them that Jesus had told them that this was going to happen. And they returned and they told the 11 and all the rest. But as Luke records, these words seemed to them to be an idle tale. And they did not believe them. But Peter thought twice about it. And he ran to the tomb and he saw for himself. And then he went home amazed at what had happened. Luke does not tell us that he told the others. Two of the disciples left the group that afternoon. They went home, to tell you the truth. They were walking toward Emmaus because it was over. And as they were walking, they were talking about what had happened, and they were so sad. And a stranger joined them and listened to their story. And then he opened the scriptures to them, interpreting all that had happened in light of the scriptures. And when they got to Emmaus, it was getting close to dark. And so they encouraged him to come in and stay with them and to break bread with them. And as he broke the bread, of course, they recognized him. It was Jesus. And he disappeared from their midst. And they did not sleep on it. They ran back to Jerusalem in the dark to tell the other disciples what had happened. And while they were telling it, our story picks up for today. Jesus suddenly appears in the midst of them. And he says, "Peace be with you." He says it more than once in this scripture. He says, "It's really me.
It's really me. See my hands? See my feet? And I'm not a ghost. In fact, I'm such a live human being that I'm going to eat. Please give me something to eat. And they give him a piece of fish, and he eats it. So it's really him, and he's really alive. And then with all of them, he does what he did with those who were on the road to Emmaus. He opens their minds to the scriptures, and he says this: "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." We'll hear the rest of the story soon, but that really, for the Gospel according to Luke, is the end of the beginning. The book of Acts, after Jesus ascends, picks right up with them there. They're in Jerusalem. They choose a new disciple to be one of the 12. And then together they experience the gift of the Spirit at Pentecost. They are off and running. The church is born. We celebrate this every year. You see, the beginning is over. We're at the end of the beginning. We tell the story in the words of each of the gospel writers each year. And each year we're invited to think about who we are in this story and what we can learn from Luke at the end of the beginning. In preparation for worshiping here with you today, I read this story during Holy Week. And I began to mull it over. Mulling is a really important part of my sermon preparation. I have to live with the scripture for a while. So I was in the process of mulling on Good Friday. And I went to the Good Friday service at Third Presbyterian Church. And I went for a reason. I knew that I was really needing a really contemplative service. And I knew they would have one. I just knew that. They would have the choir. They would have the organ. It would be very quiet. I would have time to think and pray. And in my spirit, just to spend some time with Jesus on the cross. And so I went in. It was in the chapel, beautiful space, perfect acoustics, wonderful stained glass. And I was just really getting into it. I was just really sinking deep into contemplative prayer. I was thinking this is exactly what I was looking for. And then a couple came with a baby carrier. And I want you to know that I will wrestle you to the carpet if you tell me that children do not belong in worship. I am flexible on a lot of things. That's not one of them. I can remember when my son Thomas was Nora's age, and I was serving a large church like Third in Atlanta, and he was in worship with me. And every time had his quarter for the offering at the children's time in that service. They always took the offering from among the kids before they left the sanctuary. And we would wrestle for that quarter because I knew he was going to drop it. And the floors there were hard polished wood and those clay tiles, ceramic tiles. And so it was on an incline, so if you dropped your quarter, don't you see? So here's the wonderful child of the pastor dropping his quarter. and having it roll all the way down to the communion table. Weekly. But I would wrestle you to the ground on his right to be in that worship service. And so each week my own child disturbed everyone in the worship service. Because I thought it was so important that children would be included in worship. And here is this baby at the Good Friday service at third, and I'm in my perfect contemplative place. And she is just vocalizing. She's not crying. She's not fussing. She's happy. And so we have all these really joyful vocalizations from this wonderful baby. And I whipped my head around just about that far before I could stop myself. Because, you see, I had another experience. I grew up in Philadelphia. The associate conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra lived in my town. He went to my church. We all grew up going to the Philadelphia Orchestra. And I had learned concert etiquette at a very young age. Plus, I had a mother whose looks could stop anyone at 50 paces. I'm going to see her on Friday, and she still has that ability. So I had grown up with this idea that when you're in a concert, the only appropriate thing to do is sit and listen very quietly. I had learned this as an elementary school child. It had been with me always, to the point where my husband gets kind of upset with me when people are talking behind me, and I whip my head around and I give them my mother's stare. I almost did it last night, but we won't talk about that. And then, don't you see, I had to stop myself. I thought, wait, what is this? Is this a concert? Or is this a worship service? Oh, hard questions for the woman pastor. And all I could do while I was thinking of this was think of what that angel said to the women at the empty tomb. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Yes, there is a time for solemnity and grief, but this baby just kept reminding me that life will not let us stay there. Life pushes us forward. Life calls us forward with the joyful insistent of that baby who kept vocalizing. They did kind of move her back around the corner, but I could still hear her. The choir sang for a long time a cappella and in Latin. It was beautiful. The baby loved it. Life calls us forward with the joyful insistence of that baby. We are grieving, yes, and we are still alive. We are doubting, you bet, and we are still alive. Our hopes have been crushed. That's what those disciples were talking about on the road to Emmaus. They said, we thought he was the one who would save us. We are crushed, and we are still alive. And when they realized that it was Jesus who was with them on the road, the news was so good that it just had to be shared. And so they ran back to Jerusalem in the dark to share the news that Jesus is still alive. They don't sleep on it. The news has to be told. And as they're telling their friends, Jesus has one more lesson for them. Oh my. He says, don't you see, what has happened is what you have been waiting for. I am the one who will save you. I am the Messiah. I have suffered. I have died. I have risen. And now that we're at the end of the beginning, the next part of the story belongs to you. You see, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in the Messiah's name to all nations. And you are the witnesses to these things. It's up to you to tell the story, and my Father will clothe you with power. Jesus withdraws from them and ascends. And, like good disciples, they follow his instructions. And they are in Jerusalem. And they're not locked. They're not locked up. They are public. They are in the temple. They are expressing their joy in worship. They are continually blessing God. We stand in their shoes. We are now the witnesses of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The beginning has come to an end, but the end has not yet come. We are now his witnesses. What stories do we have to tell? What stories that do we have that are so good that they have to be shared and not stored away? I love their sense of urgency, but I guess it makes sense that we've lost our sense of urgency. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Where can that urgency come from, that urgency to share the good news because it's just so good, you can't keep it to yourself. And so as I sat there on Good Friday, I thought of another Good Friday 20 years ago, exactly. I was driving to the church in Atlanta. My son attended preschool at the church. He went with me. We commuted along I-85. For those of you who know Atlanta, it's 6 lanes of traffic going 85 miles an hour. And so it took a certain level of concentration to drive I-85 in the morning. He's in the back. He's in his appropriately approved child safety seat. I have the radio on, but I'm very distracted because it's Good Friday. I'm serving a church as an associate pastor that has 2,600 members. I have 1,000 people in Sunday school. There is a lot on my mind, and my in-laws are coming for Easter. Needless to say, when the news comes on the radio, I don't hear it. Now, normally, I would turn the news down on the radio because I think there are some things a 4-year-old doesn't need to hear. But you see, that day I was so distracted, I didn't do that. And didn't really realize what the story was until my son started talking about it. Now, I have to tell you, at 4, and hopefully you will never meet him, so you won't know that at 4 he was still sucking his thumb. I know this has never happened to any of you. So he's in the back sucking his thumb, and he says, "Those are bad men." And I think to myself, "Oh Lord, what has he heard?" And it's a story 20 years ago about a mother and her 2 children who arrived in Miami by plane and got a rental car. And as they were leaving the rental car lot, turned the wrong way, got confused, and ended up in a neighborhood that was not safe. And the car was stopped, and she was pulled from the car, and she was shot to death in front of her children. And my 4-year-old in the back says, "Those are very bad men." And I said, "Yes, they have done a very bad thing." You see, I had been reading the parenting books. And he said, correcting my theology, "No, those are very bad men." And then he said, what will happen to them. And I realized that the story was that they had caught them. And so I was able to say, well, they're arrested now, and they'll go to court, and if they're found guilty, they will go to jail for a very, very, very long time. And he said, good. And we drove on with the six lanes of traffic going 85 miles an hour. And then he took a couple more pulls on his thumb and he said, I think they're bad because they don't know that Jesus loves them. And I said, well, I think you may be right. Maybe that is why they're bad, because they don't know that Jesus loves them. A couple more pulls on the thumb, and he said, someone should go tell them. Because if they know that Jesus loves them, they won't have to be bad anymore. I said, what a good idea. And we drove on. And he said, will someone go tell them so they won't have to be bad anymore? And I said, well, I don't know for sure, but I hope so. And then thought, how do you explain prison chaplaincy to a 4-year-old? And so I said, hopefully there will be someone who will go visit them and tell them that Jesus loves them and pray with them. And he said, will someone go? And I said, I hope so, but I don't know for sure. A couple more pulls on the thumb. And he said, well, when I'm big, if no one's gone yet, I'll go. Good Friday and Easter on I-85. Now, most of us are big. And we have so much to learn from our children. Because the basis of his urgency to tell the story is compassion. And he reminds us that we're not called to witness for the sake of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knows who he is. We are called to witness for the sake of the world. Jesus says very clearly, repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be proclaimed in the Messiah's name. Is it this simple? I think they are bad because they do not know that Jesus loves them. I think they are lonely because they do not know that Jesus loves them. I think that they are lost, alienated, hopeless, because they do not know that Jesus loves them. Someone needs to go tell them. Will someone go and share the good news that is just too good to be stored away? Will you tell? Will you witness? Will you talk about the love of God and Jesus Christ that you have come to know in your own life? Now, you don't have to go to Miami to do this. Jesus tells his disciples to begin where they are. Begin in Jerusalem. And so I say to you, begin in Gates. Then the angel will never need to ask us, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God.
Make sure we can see your hand and identify you.
Dear friends, I want to thank you for the many expressions of sympathy in the death of my mother. I want to tell you something that I think is more than a coincidence. My mother died 6 years and a day after my father. I firmly believe she was aiming for the same day. She's never late, so this was God's timing, but it was early in the morning, and she was always a morning person. The memorial service will be this coming Saturday, and so I ask you to continue your prayers for myself, my sister, and brother-in-law as we come together to honor her memory and to go forth in our life reinventing our relationship with one another. I also want to say thank you to Melissa. You were the first to call and express your sympathy, and it meant a lot.
Prayers are still with you, Louise. Thank you.
Gary Dykes. Just continued prayers for Carrie's uncle. He's being taken care of through hospice, and I believe that he still recognizes us. His eyes light up, but he He is having some trouble. I just want to make sure he's not in pain.
Faltarushan, JC and I have a joy. Our son Omar, after 5 years in Houston teaching, has accepted to attend Harvard School, Divinity School, starting in August.
What a joy. Amen. What a joy. Thanks be to God. Yes.
My name is Todd Martino, and I've been involved in learning how to counsel and help rehabilitate perpetrators of domestic violence. And I'd like everybody to give their prayers to the victims of crime and to the victims of domestic violence. And then after hearing that sermon, we should pray for the perpetrators too, because they can turn their lives around.
Amen. Amen.
Merge Westfall. I'm very happy today to have Mary Fraze visiting with me. She and her family were longtime members of this church.
We're glad you're here, Mary.
Helen Priestley, I would like to ask for your prayers for my friend Carol, who had a serious heart episode last week and ended up with a pacemaker. And she's doing well, but that will continue.
Lord, hear our prayers. Is that microphone anywhere else? There's one right here.
Okay, here we go. Bill Wallens.
Good morning, Bill.
I'll try to keep this short. Reverend Fowler hit the nail right on the head for us. We were just talking this week, Barb and I, about how difficult it is to witness, but we think that all the healing that we've experienced is really due directly to the prayers and thoughts of this congregation and our all-powerful God. I do have to say, things have been going really well. I'm 60% of the way. It's so hard to talk to all of you, so I thought I'd take this chance to make a journal announcement. I'm 60% of the way through my chemotherapy. All my tests are normal. Things are going great. So we thank you for your continued prayers, and we thank God for his healing power.
Thanks be to God, and the prayers continue. All right, is that microphone gone around? Everyone's had a chance. We continue to also keep Carol Ann in prayer as she is traveling. I believe she's still in Bangladesh, so the journey and adventure for her continues. God of life and love, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. For your world and your children, we bring our prayers to you, God of love. For those who have not known love, for those who struggle to care, may there always be a chance. For those who live in fear, for those who bring fear to others, may there be justice and peace. For those living with wounds, for those confounded by death and loss, may there be hope for new life. We offer prayers this morning for the family of Jack Hughes. May they experience comfort and peace as they remember and celebrate his life. We also pray for those who hunger for answers that they don't have about their lives, jobs, relationships. As more job eliminations occurred at Kodak this week, we pray for those who are happy about the results and those who are struggling with those decisions. May you guide their next steps. Even though the images of those affected by the tornadoes in this country have left the front page of the newspaper, we praise you for the care and attention these communities receive from you as those who are called to reveal your love in this world respond. We give thanks for the group who went to Tuscaloosa for their safe journey back and for the ministry
that they experienced there. God, continue to challenge us to keep our hearts and hands open so that we may respond with compassion in this world. It is through your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, indeed we have been blessed. Jesus is risen, and we celebrate. This morning, with our morning offering, we offer back to God not only our resources, but our time, our commitments, our energy, and imaginations. Let us celebrate with our morning offering.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, your empty tomb fills our hearts with hope, and this hope sends us out to bring your love and peace to a world hurting and in need. We dedicate these gifts we bring that they may be used to further your kingdom, to proclaim to the world that we are your Easter people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. the charge is redundant, but of course I'll give one anyway. Jesus Christ lived on earth. He was crucified. He rose from the dead. He is our Lord and our Christ, and we are witnesses of these things. Go and tell stories. Live as people set free by Christ. Serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.